ourselves about the cost, the real cost of Christmas. I heard about a man. He was flying off somewhere I don't really know, but he was at Heathrow Airport, and he was a bit peckish, so he went to one of the many restaurants in Heathrow Airport, and he looked at the list and to see what was on offer. The top of the list was soup, and they called it terminal soup. He thought he'd better give that a miss. Anyway, he bought a bag of donuts, those little mini donuts, you know, small donuts, and bought a packet of those. And the restaurant was absolutely jam-packed, full up, job to find anywhere to sit. Eventually, he managed to find somewhere to sit, sat down, and no sooner had he sat down than somebody came and sat opposite him. That's just what I need. Anyway, he sipped his coffee, and then he reached into the bag and took a donut, enjoyed it. You know, he enjoyed it with sugar all over his face and another sip of coffee. He thought, you know, this is good. Got some time to spare. I'll enjoy this. With that, the man opposite him put his hand in the bag and took a donut. And, well, the man couldn't believe it. And he thought to himself, donut thief. What is going on? So quickly, he had a sip of coffee, put his hand in, took another donut, and actually pretty quickly. And with that, the other man put his hand in and took out another donut and ate it, and then sipped, had a sip of coffee. And the other man then looked at his watch. I suppose he thought his flight was, you know, sort of fairly soon to his flight, so he really needs to get going. So he took, put his hand in the bag and took out, there's only one donut left. So he broke it in half, ate one half, and gave it to the other man. And he thought, I'm not taking that from that donut thief. You know, it might be germs all over. And anyway, he decided he wouldn't. The other man left to catch his plane. And then the man looked at his watch and thought, oh, yeah, it's about time I went. So he put his rucksack on and reached down to get his briefcase. And there by the side of his briefcase was his packet of donuts. Sometimes it's easy, I think, to misunderstand people and do the wrong things. And I want us to look at the real meaning of Christmas so that we are doing the right thing and realize that the Lord Jesus came to bring us a gift, the gift of life and hope and peace. And certainly as we approach Christmas, the high streets brimmed full, isn't it, of decorations and shoppers and everybody trying to get a gift for a loved one this Christmas. Just to get things in the right order, can you tell me, please, roughly the average household spend on Christmas as far as food is concerned, presents and decorations? How much do you think an average household would spend on Christmas this year? How many? 500? Okay, £500. 1,000, who said that? Somebody said £1,000. Okay. Who? Anybody else? Yeah. 5,000, right. We can actually tell what sort of families these people come from. Well, I'm told reliably. Oh, yes. Right. He obviously reads the Telegraph. Brilliant. That's right. Amazing, isn't it? That people would spend that much on Christmas. I think onto the 41p bracket. But what will you buy a loved one? So, you know, let's just think about some gifts that people have actually bought for other people. Well, here's a bronze statue. This bronze statue cost somebody £120 million. He gave it to what is actually now his ex-girlfriend, and it was Roman Abramovich, and he gave that amazing gift to somebody. Well, he's never seen it since, okay? And there are people who buy a yacht, sort of. I know I read somebody who spent £85 million on a yacht for his wife. And then diamonds. Anybody want this diamond? Here we are. Back in 1972, Richard Burton gave Elizabeth Taylor this pear-shaped diamond with an estimated cost way back there in 72 of £1.5 million. Amazing. So I think that's sold, so you've missed that. You could buy a bottle of wine, I'm told, for $175. Actually, that's champagne, so that makes a difference, doesn't it? Or you could go for some perfume. What I would suggest is that you don't actually go to the market and get some perfume at the market. There's some good deals there. You can actually spend over £1.50, I think, on a bottle of perfume. But this one was a little bit different. So if you want to buy this for your wife this Christmas, it'll only cost you £168,000. But just in case you're tempted to Google it and buy it, then Amazon will deliver it, throw it over the gate, and then it's called Imperial Majesty. So don't forget that, because that's quite an important thing if you want to buy it. No idea what it smells like. Don't suppose I ever will. But a love gift is important, isn't it? And here we have a love gift. Somebody said it was the most expensive love gift in the world, Taj Mahal. But who needs a hamper when you give presents like that? But they said that this was the most expensive gift in the world for Christmas, but that's not true. The most expensive gift was the gift of God's Son, the Lord Jesus, and that's the most expensive gift in history, that Jesus came from heaven, was born as a babe at Bethlehem in order that he'd live a perfect life and then die upon the cross for your sin and mine. And having paid the price of our sin, 3 days later, he arose from the dead. 40 days after that, he went back into heaven, and Jesus is alive today. Alive in heaven, and by his Holy Spirit waiting to come into your life to give you life and joy and peace. And that was the most expensive gift of all. So no wonder we thank God for his indescribable gift, which is priceless. That's what Christmas is all about. The gift of God's Son for you and for me. The gift of the Lord Jesus, paying the penalty of our sin. Because the Bible says quite clearly, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got a book here, a little booklet, and a really brilliant notebook. I'm offering this to everybody. You can take one of these as you leave. What you could do is perhaps read it and pass it on to somebody else at Christmas. Could you do that? It's called Christmas in Three Words. It's written by Vaughan Roberts, who's the vicar at St. Ebbs in Oxford. It's really worth reading. It's great. So these are the three words that he uses in this book to describe Christmas. I thought it's so brilliant. I didn't ask him permission to do this, but I'm sure he'd be happy for me to tell you the three words. Well, it's in here anyway, so you can read about it. He says this, that Christmas is historical. It really happened. It's the best attested fact in history that Jesus came as that babe at Bethlehem. And the Christianity is based on real fact, historical evidence and fact. And Jesus came that first Christmas time. And also, he goes on to explain in his little book that Christmas is joyful. God really cares That's good news, because we've already thought about people less fortunate than us. But God cares for you. God loves you. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus coming to demonstrate to us and to offer us a gift of life and hope and peace. That shows and demonstrates how much he cares for us. So Christmas is based on historical evidence. And Christmas is joyful because God really does care. Christmas, thirdly, is essential. It's essential. It really, really matters. That's why we need to take it seriously. Look beyond the tinsel. Look beyond the turkey. Look beyond the presents and see the fact that God came as a babe at Bethlehem. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save you and me. I heard about a couple of men who came out of a pub on Christmas Eve. They were drunk. They got lost. They couldn't find where on earth they were. And they saw a very smart RAF and high-ranking officer from the RAF. And they shouted over to him, "Hey, mate, where are we?" He was really a bit taken aback by their disrespect and said, "Do you know who I am?" And the two men said to each other, "We're now in real trouble. We don't know where we are, and he doesn't know who he is." Jesus knows who we are. He knows all about our sin. He knows all about our makeup. And he loves us. And he came to demonstrate his love and to offer us the gift of love and life and peace. He's giving it to each one of us and offering it. But like any gift, it has to be received, doesn't it? And the gift of life from the Lord Jesus has to be received. Otherwise, what's the point of it? Going back to my chocolate, I bought this, as I told you, in Waitrose. Because I bought it in Waitrose because I wanted to be the best, and Linda told me to. And that's not true. I don't know, forgetting how much it cost. How much did it cost? Well, actually, you know, it's a lot of money. 128, oh, right. Right. But it's mine. I bought it. And I'm going to offer this bar of chocolate to anyone who would like to come and receive it. That's a bit like the gift of salvation, isn't it? Jesus offers life for anyone who would come and receive it. The only problem is, you know, we're thinking about the offer, and the offer is, is it real? Does he mean it? Will it make any difference? Will I have to pay? And so the gift really lies sort of just there, the gift of life. And people struggle through life without any hope because they refuse to receive the gift of eternal life that Jesus is offering. Is there anything wrong with your hearing? Unlike my chocolate, the gift of salvation is for all, anyone who can come. And it's not a matter of just one and it's over, done with, finished. No, we can all come, and Jesus saves those who come to him in repentance and faith. What a wonderful Christmas it is to realize that the whole purpose is that Jesus came to offer life. And you'll sit there thinking, is it really true? Is there some catch? When all we've got to do is actually run to the Savior and ask him to take away our sin and live in our hearts. And then we can be born again. And the thrilling thing is this, that the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And the Bible says that Jesus is talking, "I will never, no, never leave you or forsake you." Whatever we face this coming year, Jesus can be with us to help us and to see us through. That doesn't mean he's going to take all the problems away, but it does mean he's there to help you and to bless you and to see you through another year. What a wonderful gift. The gift of life and peace and hope. It's available. Wouldn't it be great if many here tonight came running to the Lord Jesus because he's offering real life. The Bible says greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The babe in the cradle became the cross of Christ on the cross, who now is the man in the glory, Christ Jesus, the righteous. Let's listen to Isaiah, please. Thank you, Hilary.
The reading is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you. Emmanuel, let's stand.
Our journey long.
Please be seated. Thank you, Steve.
A reading from John 3:16 to 17. God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn his people. He sent them to save them. And a reading from Isaiah 7:14. But the Lord will still give you proof. A virgin is pregnant. She will have a son and will name him Emmanuel.
Let's just close our carols by candlelight with prayer.